Wherever there are shadows, there are people ready to kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight. This is Bleeding Daylight with your host, Rodney Olson.
Welcome. You can find links to our Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at bleedingdaylight.net, as well as many more conversations with people kicking against the darkness. A distinctly Australian flavour on this episode of Bleeding Daylight, as we talk to someone who has engaged with thousands of people from around the world on matters of faith. He's someone who makes history every day. Matt Prater has worked in radio since the age of 15. He's the host of History Makers Radio, a weekly radio program and podcast that gives listeners insights into the life and faith of people from all walks of life, including many household names. Matt is the senior pastor of New Hope Church in Brisbane, Australia. He's my guest today on Bleeding Daylight. Matt, thank you so much for your time.
G'day, Rodney. Thanks so much for having me, brother.
As a 15-year-old, what was it about radio that really captured your attention?
I was working at a radio station in Coffs Harbour. They actually had a program. It was Australia's only youth radio station at the time, and they had a program where you could do it as an elective at school. I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. Once a month, I'd do a four-hour shift on CHYFM Coffs Harbour. You'd play all the latest songs and they'd teach you how to back announce and do the weather and all that kind of stuff. And I was terrible. Like, I'd make so many mistakes. Like, I remember one time I back announced a song from Elton John and I said, that's a song called Rendezvous from Elton John. I don't get to pronounce rendezvous. And I'd say, oh, that was Betty Midler with Wind Beneath Your Wings. And you know how they teach you to do this time call? I'd say things like, oh, it's 2 minutes to 3:30. You know, like I was a mess. But I learned all the basics. Out of that, I really got a passion because everyone says I got a good face for radio. So, yeah, I really got into it.
It's an interesting medium. It's an opportunity, really, to delve into people's lives. And there are those who work in radio who it is just the back announce, the time call, move on. But what I see in what you've done in radio is really that connection with people, especially through programs like History Makers. You're delving into people's lives. What is it about people that really grabs your attention and makes you want to delve further?
I'll just tell a bit more of my story because it helps answer that question. So when I was 15, I was doing that radio show and I was telling dirty jokes and I was being a bit, you know, cheeky on the radio, trying to be the next Doug Mulray, you know, who was a very well-known shock jock at the time. Then I became a Christian at a youth camp and I felt God say he wanted to use me on the radio for his glory, not for my own. And so I started doing the Christian radio show at that radio station. Out of that, I started doing interviews with people. I would interview my pastor, I'd interview my youth pastor, I'd interview Christian musicians. And I was only like 16, making it up as I went along. But I just loved it because I'm a genuinely curious person. I really do want to know what makes people tick. And so that's basically how History Makers was birthed all those years ago. I just started interviewing people. And what I love is finding out how people have overcome hurdles in their life, because we all go through tough times in our life. We all go through difficult situations. And the good thing about History Makers is you get to hear someone's life story and they talk about when they went through a sickness or they went through a divorce or they went through a business failing and how God helped them overcome it. That's really what making history is. It's when you've done something and overcome something that is a great story to tell. It's like your tests have become your testimony. So, yeah, that's why I love interviewing people, just to hear what makes them tick and how they've overcome hurdles in life.
And I do want to jump in and find out about some of those people that you've spoken to and some of the obstacles that they've had to overcome. But let's start with you. What are some of the obstacles that you've faced? You say that everyone faces these sorts of difficult times in life. What are the times where you faced those difficulties and you found that God has come through for you?
Yeah, well, for me, when I was a teenager, when I came to Christ, I started sharing the gospel and started running a youth group straight away and doing my radio ministry. And I really struggled with self-esteem. All my mates at school had a go at me, and they called me the Jesus freak and the God squad and the Bible bash, you know. And so I remember being bullied a bit at school, and that was a tough thing to have to deal with, because you want to be cool and popular at school. But I had to learn quickly to die to myself and just live for God as a teenager. Years later, I got married at 20 and then went through a very difficult divorce at the age of 25. For me, I would call that my Job time. You know, my marriage had broken down. The company I was working for went bust. I was living in Brisbane at the time and just feeling like Job. I felt like everything was taken away. The pastor at the Vineyard Church I was a part of at the time, Kirk Delaney, took me under his wing and he said, you know, God's got a call for your life. God's got a plan. And he kind of helped me get through that tough time and ended up back in ministry, preaching at the church there and running Alpha courses. And out of that, all these people came to Christ. And I ended up becoming the pastor of New Hope, which I've been there for 17 years now. It was kind of like what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. So I believe God really is a God of second chances. No matter what we go through, God's still got a plan. We just got to follow the narrow path that he's set out for us and trust in him, because he will provide.
How do you juggle those responsibilities of the radio, but also being a pastor, being there present for people within your own congregation, but also having a ministry that goes a lot further, that goes across Australia and indeed across the world?
It's hand in hand, the pastoring and the radio ministry, because a lot of the people I interview on my radio show end up coming to our church, preaching or doing ministry. And I've been able to interview lots of people who've come to Christ at my church and just got them to share their testimony. Because History Makers isn't just for famous people or celebrities. It's also for people that have just got a good story to tell, a good testimony. It's gone hand in hand. And I think it's really good for a pastor to have another interest other than their church as well. Because when you're just working for your church, you end up just being in that little Christian bubble. And the good thing about doing History Makers is I get to interview some fascinating people, you know, politicians, pastors, authors, musicians, people with incredible testimonies, missionaries, you know, and you just learn so much from people as well. It really has worked out well, the two ministries alongside each other.
How many times when you're interviewing someone is there a real surprise where you're talking to perhaps someone who's well known, and suddenly they say something in answer to one of your questions and you think, wow, that's something I never would have imagined?
It happens occasionally. Now, normally I like to do a bit of research on the person and, you know, look up their website, look up their Wikipedia, check out some other interviews they've done. I like to do a bit, you know. So I normally know a bit about them already. But occasionally I'll interview someone that you go, oh, my Lord, wow, they really went through it. Or, oh, I didn't realize things were that bad. This is once again that the heart behind History Makers is for people to share how God has strengthened them through their tough times. Most of the interviews, I'll ask people to share at the end of the interview how they came to Christ and how others can come to Christ. My heart is that people will hear the interviews and go, yeah, you know what, if that person went through that and then still held on to God, I can hold on to God no matter what I'm going through. Because when we hear testimonies of what people have been through, hopefully it can inspire us to keep going with what God's called us to do.
We seem to live in a world where we want to see the biggest, the brightest, the best, and really everything that's wonderful in life. And that can sometimes be discouraging because we think, well, I can't live up to that. We know that social media shows our showreel, not life as it really is. How important do you think it is that we do hear these stories of difficult times in people's lives so that we know that these people are just like us?
Yeah, it's so important because we have this, you're right, we have this image that everyone's got a perfect life. Everyone's life's better than ours, but, you know, everyone's got mess. Everyone's got skeletons in the closet. Everyone's made mistakes. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. You look through the Bible, you look at David, he was an adulterer and a murderer, a liar, yet he was used by God because he was repentant. He was known as a man after God's own heart. And I find that's one of the good things about the History Makers interviews is that they're raw. People are open and honest about the messes they've made in their life, yet they kept coming back to God. And that's the one theme that I'm always trying to point to people, that no matter how bad things get, we can always come back to the Lord.
I know that there have literally been hundreds of episodes of History Makers, so this may be a difficult question, but can you name maybe a few of those interviews that are really your favourites or that really resonated with you, that come back to you again and again?
Yeah, well, one that has really impacted me and really changed my life, literally, is with Will Graham, which is Billy Graham's grandson. Will has come out to Australia 4 or 5 times in the last 10 years, and each time I've been able to catch up with him and do interviews with him, he's been to places like Broken Hill, Kalgoorlie, Alice Springs, Hobart. Billy Graham is one of my heroes. So when you get to meet his grandson, who is quite similar to Billy Graham, Will just inspired me because he loves traveling just to small towns. He brings Christian bands with him. He speaks at schools, at youth groups, speaks in prisons, and just shares a simple gospel message. He's no bells and whistles, over-the-top Pentecostal preacher. He's just a straightforward preacher of the gospel, you know. I've had a few chats with him, and because of the interviews I've done with him and then the times I've spent with him, it's inspired me to do the same. So that's part of what I do now. I travel around Australia doing preaching at little churches and little towns and big cities as well, kind of because I saw what he was doing and I thought, we need more Aussies to hear the gospel. We need to get out there and share the gospel. So that's one that's really inspired me. There's others like Guy Sebastian, when he had won Australian Idol many years ago and he'd been part of Planet Shakers. I remember chatting to him and he shared his faith, and it was one of the first times he'd publicly shared his faith when we interviewed him, and that went viral, that one. That was a pretty cool one. Kevin Rudd was another big one. So this was before he was Prime Minister. I was able, one of the first guys to get him to share about his Christian faith and his Bible verses that he loved. He shared about how Bonhoeffer and Wilberforce were his heroes, and that interview went viral. I know he's probably changed some of his religious beliefs a bit since then, but I remember at the time it was good to have a well-known politician share their faith. That's one of the other things that I love about the show, is that you get to chat to people and ask them about how the Word of God's impacted their life, and there are a few of my favourites, yeah.
It is interesting that we talk to people and we can hear some of their story, and yet sometimes people don't continue to follow the same path. There are people that you've spoken to, like Ravi Zacharias, who the truth really came out about where his life was heading, and then you mentioned Kevin Rudd, and I know that you had quite a famous interaction with him one time when you called him towards Christian belief and he actually turned and went another way. How do you feel when there are people that have lived a testimony, have walked the faith, and yet you see them starting to turn their back, at least partially, on their faith?
That was certainly an interesting moment in my life when I was on Q&A on ABC TV with Kevin Rudd. Kevin was the guest and I was in the audience, and I asked him why he'd changed his views on biblical marriage. He kind of lectured me, and anyway, that video clip went viral. But, you know, the thing is, that was the week before the federal election, and that week Kevin lost his job, and I've still got mine all these years later. But the difficult thing with that was that, you know, Kevin had actually been voted in, I believe, because of his Christian platform, and a lot of Christians voted for him. I think that was like a nail in the coffin for him, because he was basically saying he doesn't believe the conservative view of the Bible. He has a liberal view of the Bible, and, you know, some would call it woke. You know, there's different words and labels you can put on him, but he basically was saying he didn't believe what Jesus defined marriage to be. You know, I don't want to go down a rabbit trail there, but I was heartbroken that he had once professed a strong Christian faith and now he's watered it down. And that's one of the things that breaks my heart when people, I call it mission drift. They're on mission, they're following the words of Jesus and the works of Jesus, but then they start to believe what the world says, not what the Bible says. And for me, I've always been very solid on what the Word of God says, and I don't want to go down that path that questions everything and loses the strong biblical view that I have. And, yeah, it breaks my heart when I see people going down that path.
It's interesting that we know that there are people of goodwill. There are people who have faith who will believe different things about some of the issues, that one that you've just touched on there. But I guess the thing that was startling about the interaction that you had with Kevin Rudd on Q&A was really not that you had a different opinion, but was the vitriol with which he then attacked. Did that surprise you at the time?
Oh, man, I was like a stunned mullet when he started lecturing me. I mean, the Prime Minister of Australia was challenging this poor young pastor from Brisbane, you know, and I felt like I was Daniel in the lion's den. I was so nervous, and you know me, mate, I'm on the radio, I'm a preacher, I'm fairly confident, but in that ABC audience that night, I thought I was going to get lynched because I had a view that didn't fit with the, you know, I'd say most of the crowd had a view that was different to mine, and so I just felt very attacked. But you know what? That video's had about 3.5 million views on YouTube now. There's a lot of people that contacted me and said, you know what, I've decided that I wanted to support you that week. And I got all these emails, phone calls, people saying, well done, Matt, for standing up for biblical truth. And a lot of people changed their vote that week as well, because I believe that there are, you know, what you call the silent Australians, the silent majority that have a conservative view when it comes to things like marriage. It was certainly a massive week for me that week. I still get people come up to me going, oh, I remember when you were on ABC with Kevin Rudd that time. The other thing was I was doing breakfast on Vision Christian Radio at the time, and we got a whole bunch of phone calls and probably got a whole bunch of new listeners that week as well. So what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn around for good.
You mentioned your time with Will Graham and his passion for going out into the small towns or the smaller areas that a lot of people don't go to, and that has triggered something for you. Tell me about those adventures that you've had where you've gone out into those smaller areas, into country towns, to just share your faith with people.
Yeah, well, I just love doing that. I went over to Kalgoorlie a few years ago, preached there. There was a combined church gathering. I think about 17 churches gathered together. I preached in schools and did a men's breakfast, and I did some evangelism training and then took some people out on the streets just to do witnessing and hand out gospel tracts and invite people to our combined church outreach. I did a whole bunch of radio interviews and social media interviews while I was there. I just love getting out into those towns where you mightn't get many guest preachers or Christian bands visiting places like that, but I just loved it. And so, yeah, that was one of my favourite ones. Since then, I've been to places like Dubbo, Cairns, going to Townsville soon, Albury-Wodonga, hoping to go to Hobart at some stage, and Launceston and Tassie. And part of my heart is I'm an evangelist. I want to win souls, and I want to share the gospel, but I also want to equip people to evangelize. Because, you know, only 2% of Christians have actually led someone to the Lord. And I think 5% of people who are Christians regularly share their faith. You know, the Great Commission is pretty clear in Matthew 28. We're all called to share our faith. It's not the great omission, it's the great commission. We need to get the gospel out there. So that's part of my heart as well, getting out into those towns. So, hey, if anybody wants to invite me to their community, no cost to you, I'm happy to come and maybe bring a team from my church and see if we can work with the local churches and youth groups and schools to reach people with the good news. I'm happy to come. Contact me through my website, historymakersradio.com, if you want me to come to your community.
I find it interesting that, as you say, the majority of Christians don't share their faith. And I've often wondered about why that is. Is it perhaps because we don't fully believe the message that we carry? Is it because we are so caught up in this world that we don't have that eternal perspective, that we're not actually conscious of the fact that this life is not all there is? What do you think are the reasons that we don't get out there and talk about this faith?
Yeah, I think it's a few reasons. One of them, I think, is that people just don't actually know how to do it. When I do evangelism training, I get people to do a role play. Just sit with someone and I say, look, in 60 seconds, just share your testimony. Share what you were like before you became a Christian, how you became a Christian, and how your life's different now that you're a Christian. 20 seconds each. Give a 20-second segment for each of those. And in 60 seconds, you should be able to share your testimony. So I get people to role play it and practice it so that once they've done it behind closed doors with a friend, then when it comes to on the train or on the bus or at the supermarket or wherever you are, you're rehearsed. So I think, firstly, people just don't know how to do it, so they need to be trained and equipped. Secondly, I think fear is a big one. People are worried that people are going to laugh at them or argue with them and they're not going to know the answers. That's okay. You wouldn't believe the number of times I've messed it up. I've had so many mistakes in evangelism you wouldn't believe, but you learn from your mistakes when you do it. And thirdly, I reckon it's because we just don't – have boldness. I pray for boldness every day. Some people might think I'm really bold, but let me tell you, I'm always asking for boldness. Peter and John asked for boldness in the book of Acts, and they were two of the boldest people you'd read about in the Bible. God granted them boldness, and they went and saw miracles, and they won souls. We need to ask for boldness, and we just need to ask the question, do you want to give your heart to Jesus? And we need to learn the sinner's prayer and offer to pray for people to come to Christ with the sinner's prayer. We just need to be bold, ask the question, practice our testimony, share our faith, and if you want to book an evangelism training seminar, I'm happy to come and train you wherever you are.
Where do you see the balance between this kind of evangelism and seeking conversions to Christ, the balance between that and discipleship? Of course, we know the Great Commission calls us to go and disciple all nations. So where do we see the balance in that?
Definitely the Great Commission says to go and make disciples, not decisions. I definitely agree with that. But it's got to start with a decision. People need to make a decision to come to Christ, and then we need to disciple them. We need to teach them all the things Jesus has commanded us. So we have a very big follow-up process for those that come to Christ. We give them a Bible, a devotional. We encourage them to join a Connect group, maybe do an Alpha course or a basic Christianity course, and then we try and get them mentored by someone who can disciple them in their walk with the Lord. It's so important that we have a very good follow-up process for discipleship.
You mentioned that you help people to give their testimony in 60 seconds. So let's give it a go. Let's hear your 60-second testimony.
Okay, well, I was born at a very young age, originally from New South Wales. I had a religious upbringing, went to a conservative church. But then when I was a teenager, I really wasn't interested in going to church. And then there was this cute blonde girl that was going to youth group. I thought I might go to youth group. And then she went to a youth camp, and I thought I might go to that youth camp. Then at the youth camp, I heard the gospel at the age of 15 for the first time in my life, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And when I heard that verse, I decided to give my heart to Jesus. I started sharing my faith with people wherever I had the chance. Soon after, I became a youth leader. Then I became a pastor. And here I am today. It was the best decision I ever made. And I encourage anyone listening, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I encourage you to pray and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. It'll be the most eternal decision you've ever made.
And for those people listening who haven't been able to share their faith for whatever reason, tell me, what does it feel like when you get that opportunity to lead someone into faith?
It's addictive. It's like the best buzz ever. When you see the lights come on in someone that they're ready to come to know Jesus, when they pray and receive Jesus, it's eternal. It's a heavenly, supernatural miracle because it's really God. It's the Holy Spirit that works in people's hearts. We're just the vessel. We just share the good news. It's God that saves someone, you know. And when you see them get born again, it's the most wonderful experience ever. So I encourage people, take that step, share your testimony, pray with people. It'll be the most amazing experience you'll ever have.
I'm sure that people would love to get in contact with you to hear more of your interviews on History Makers. What's the easiest place for people to find you?
So the website is historymakersradio.com. We're also on Facebook, and people can search us up on YouTube as well. But all the links you'll find at the History Makers website.
Matt, it has been a delight to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Rod. I reckon you're a history maker. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Bleeding Daylight. Please help us to shine more light into the darkness by sharing this episode with others. For further details and more episodes, please visit bleedingdaylight.net.